Condon.
Ken Miller. Trent Condon. Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO. And now on 106.3 FM.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Miller and Condon here on a Monday. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Thanks for joining us here this morning as we talk sports with you. Trent Condon, Ken Miller, Ron Zamas for the next couple of hours. Who is Ron Zamas?
I don't know. Condon? I just heard her update there.
Good stuff. I feel like I'm up to date. Anyways, we will talk sports with you for the next couple of hours. Here's the BMW of Des Moines guest list. Bottom of the hour, Scott Dockerman. He was in New Brunswick?
New Brunswick?
That's a province.
Piscataway?
Piscataway for Rutgers and Iowa. An efficient day out of the Iowa offense. Above average for the defense again. Mm-hmm. We'll talk to Scott Dockerman at 10:30. 11:05, Bama, Trent, and I will go around college football. I'm assuming Adrian Martinez will come up at some point amongst some of the highlights from the weekend. My God, what a drive. And then Nick Olson on Iowa State. He covers Iowa State for 24/7 Sports, CycloneAlert.com. He joins us at 11:30. Mr. Monday Night will make an appearance about 10 minutes before the hour of noon. A lot of football to recap. Baseball begins, well, locally, it begins its final three-game homestand, I believe, tomorrow. They'll put bring down the curtain on AAA baseball at Principal Park. We're inside, 10 days now for Major League Baseball as they will end a week from Wednesday. But football is where we begin. You were in Minneapolis yesterday, TCF Bank Stadium. You had great seats, man. Those were great seats. I didn't know where you were going.
I didn't either. Until Friday afternoon, we got the heads up that our friends that have seats in the Polaris Club had a couple of extras.
So what does the Polaris Club do for you?
So the Polaris Club is kind of has its own seating area. It's a huge area. Real big spot there. They have all the TVs and everything.
I mean, there's bathrooms and stuff?
Yes. Nice. And there's probably, 2,000 people that can be in there. And then you walk down and it is the best of the best. We were sitting about the 40-yard line. 10 rows up, just absolutely incredible tickets. I could reach out and yell at Dan Campbell what a moron he was. Boy, that was awful yesterday.
Had a chance, didn't they?
It came together yesterday, and again, I had no rooting interest except for the Survivor contest, so that was the most I ever rooted for the Vikings in my life. I'll tell you, that is a terrible existence as a fan. That sucks. Man, that organization.
But you survived in advance, unlike our group, because we didn't even see October, and we're all three of our entries are down. But nobody wants to hear about that. Let's get to the what moves the needle on sports talk here in Des Moines, and that's the Hawks and the Clones. Let's start with the Hawks as they got the win out in New Jersey on Saturday night. Look, I thought the bar's not set high.
No.
But it was Petras' best game of the year.
It was.
And we obviously need to see a whole lot more, even if it's baby steps every week. Mm-hmm. Just keep progressing. Obviously, the test, the water gets a little bit deeper this week with Michigan coming to town. But they had a bad team on the other side of the field. I got to give credit to that Simon kid, the quarterback.
Yes.
My God, what a tough SOB he is. He took some shots in that football game, Trent, and kept getting up.
The first one that he really took that led to the interception, the Cooper DeGene returned for a
what
touchdown.
What a player he is, huh? DeGene, I'm talking about.
Van Ness just absolutely drilled him.
Yes.
Logan Lee later in the game, he was getting hit all over the place, and he kept standing in there.
Help me out with this. Joe Evans did not get him. He got a running back, right?
Yes.
I think that they went wildcat on that play.
Yep.
And he I love Joe Evans' game. I really and truly do. He's
what a
so
story,
good.
Too. I mean, a kid from Ames goes over there, walks on at Iowa, gives it a shot, start seeing him a little bit. Who's 13?
Right.
Why is there a 13 out there? He was a rush specialist.
Uh-huh.
He has developed into a four-down player now. I mean, he's a guy that you can put out there. Now, because of their depth on the defensive line, he doesn't have to play all the snaps. But that defensive line, they are nasty, even with the injuries. Good to see Noah Shannon. Weren't sure he's going to give it a go. He played 45 snaps.
He played well. So did Aaron Graves, by the way.
And Aaron Graves, he continues to come, doesn't he?
Oh, my God.
He is going to be a star.
The light, it's not shining bright yet, but it's starting to come on. It's one of those dimmer switches. You're starting to ratchet it up a little bit. He's going to be.
He, and you see at times, if you really key on him, there's a couple of snaps where I just wanted to watch him. And it's almost like he's still in that process of still thinking about things. where, all right, what do I do here? Hand placement. It looks like there's still that mental aspect that he's thinking a lot out there instead of reacting. But when he reacts, the natural talent, it is just, it is an incredible level. He is an absolute stud. That defensive line's good. They're going to be pushed this week against Michigan.
Yep,
but, you know, Rutgers comes right down, marches down the field, gets a field goal, say, all right, this is going to be a game. If they didn't get those two defensive scores, how different is that game, though?
It's huge. It's huge. And we talked about how the only way this game can go over is if the defense, and Trent, they're due.
Yes.
And they get a couple, and the number goes over. This defense is incredible. We knew that going in. Seemingly, you can, on every Monday when we sit down in these chairs, we can find another. I mean, I thought that Sam Benson played really good football this week. We talked about Cooper DeJean, and that's not the only way for Benson. Don't get me wrong. I'd like his game. But Cooper DeJean, Trent, when it's all said and done, I might be talking, what kind of hyperbole will we be using when we talk about DeJean?
Well, he's this mythical high school player. I mean, going back to him on the football field, leading,
you didn't see him play, did you?
Just watching the game on TV.
Gotcha.
No, I never watched him live or anything like that. But just remember watching those games. There was one of them. I think it might have been the championship game. It was in the dome, where it was like 48-46 or something like that. And it was both teams going back and forth, and it was him just making plays at quarterback, time in and time out, every single time they needed a play. Third and seven, he runs for eight.
Yeah.
Need to come up with a big throw, he was there. And then you watch him at high school. This guy's 6'1". And he's drop-step dunking on kids at the 1A level and 2A level.
Wouldn't that be nice?
He is a mythical athletic freak, and it's that guy that everybody has that guy right in their high school.
Yep.
But they're not this good.
Kelly Taylor.
They're not this guy that's able to do that. And this guy is that good. It's a fun story, I think, for everybody in the state because we remember that guy that was just good at everything.
Mm-hmm.
He's still good at everything. Remember, he hasn't even been playing cornerback for a year.
It's bananas.
So Castro gets the start of Cash.
And he was good, by the way.
He was really good. I thought I was shocked at how well he played at that position after really having, outside of reps in the Nevada game, he's hardly played defense. He's been a great special teams player.
Mm-hmm.
And he's out there making plays. DeJean hasn't even played cornerback for a year, and he looks so natural, so good, fluid. Guy's going to be a star. I mean, Jason Sehorn?
Well, not bad.
We don't see many white cornerbacks at the next level.
No.
And are you going to root against? Are you going to bet against Cooper DeJean making it there?
No, hell no, Trent.
Nope.
No, absolutely not. I love watching the kid play and excited to watch him this year and next year and who knows how much longer after that.
One other from the defensive backfield, Kayvon Merriweather. They interviewed him after the game, said never had a scoop and score touchdown in his life going back to Pee Wee football, which was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Got to hear him talk about that. That guy, though, has been so important going back to 2020. He was one of the guys that was at the forefront of the conversation about changing what it was inside the walls of Fort Kinnick and African-American players and feeling that. Kayvon Merriweather, he helped keep that thing together. He was one of the guys that was a leader. And it's good to see a person that has been that important, not just for what he is as a football player, and he's an excellent football player, but what he has meant inside that program.
He's a face of it, Trent.
Absolutely.
One of the faces of it.
Big Ten Player of the Week, Defensive Player of the Week. Uh-huh. He was named just a little bit ago.
And I know this isn't a big deal, and it's not an award that anybody knows about him. Was he not the first recipient of, I'm not sure what it's called, the Iowa Media Votes?
Yep.
On this award, and they gave it to Kayvon Merriweather for coming out and talking to them and just representing the school the way he does.
He kept things together.
He does. I agree.
If Kayvon Merriweather wasn't on campus, you wonder how 2020 was going to go, you know, how it could have ended up. He was a very important part. So great to see him get some accolades and get that defensive touchdown. And even with all that, if you had it at 34.5, you needed a field goal off the upright to get that over.
But you know what? It went over, and let's go there. We know Iowa's got a punter.
Yes, they do.
I mean, he's elite.
And he outpunted Korsak.
He did, without a doubt. The best punter on the field was clearly wearing the Hawkeye uniform. But Drew Stevens, what did you see out of him? Obviously, he's got the leg.
Yes, he does.
That kick that when it did trickle over the goalpost after ricocheting in, the confidence that has to give this kid. A, it's on the road. Okay, it's not the big house, right? It's
right.
Not the shoe.
But it was a banged out crowd.
It was.
Yeah.
And for him to make these type of kicks, and he's been really good, I think they found their kicker. I think the competition is close.
Yeah, absolutely. It just looks different coming off his foot in comparison to Blom. There's something different about this young man. And now, hey, you're set at punter. You're set at kicker.
Yep.
Coverage unit's good.
Yep.
And Cooper DeJean. Arlen Bruce was banged up. He's not going to return punts this week.
Right.
And DeJean's back there. Special
Terry
teams.
Roberts doesn't play.
So now we're waiting for that play. The special teams play. I don't think we saw one of the goofy plays a year ago from Iowa. They got something in the back pocket for Michigan this week.
Well, if they do, this would be a
pole
good
cat.
Time. Yeah. This. And I didn't see this. I saw it on Twitter. I don't think the broadcast mentioned this. The kickoff that went to Rutgers. Did you see the Rutgers player laying down in the end zone?
No.
It's really hard to pick him out because the end zone the same color as the uniforms.
Yeah.
So they had something cooked up.
Oh.
This guy was laying flat, obviously laying perfectly still, and uh-huh. I didn't notice it when the game was on. But there was a still picture that came out yesterday for the first time. He's kind of in the belly of the R, you know, kind of between the, I don't know what you call them, the letter, the sticks. That's not what it is, but you get my point.
Sure.
You know, when you're drawing the R, he's on the bottom. But he was well hidden. Would have liked to see how that worked out, but obviously the kick went was directional. So good for them. Good for mm-hmm. them to get a win. Let's talk about the quarterback real quick because, look, he ran around. He tried to run around and make a couple of plays. He's not fast.
He's not. He's not athletic.
No.
That's not his strength, but he at least tried.
Uh-huh. And they threw the ball down the field.
Yep, took a shot.
Uh-huh.
Hit one up the field and... Another game, no Keegan Johnson, as Tom Caker told us on Friday.
And apparently we're going to learn something tomorrow. That's according to Tom.
Oh, yeah?
Well, he said it to us during during his talk with us on Friday that he thinks there's going to be some clarity.
Because I asked, have we seen him for the last time uh-huh. this year? And he
yep.
said very well could be.
Right. He kind of hinted.
Yeah.
And in fact, I'm not a subscriber to Tom's board, but apparently there was a pretty big thread on there
yep.
about what Tom said. With us on his, what's it, Hawkeye what?
Hawkeye Report.
Yeah, but what's the
Hawkeye Lounge.
Hawkeye Lounge. Not yep. to be confused with the Hawkeye Lounge that is an actual board
yeah, right.
where we get the post.
That's a different Halo.
It is. Anyways, let's get to the Cyclones. Trey, here's my take. I don't know if Iowa State's in the top five of the Big 12 or the bottom five of the Big 12. This conference is nuts. We saw what happened to Oklahoma. We saw what happened to Texas. We've seen what's happened to Baylor when they take on a BYU. I think Baylor's a good team. I love their quarterback. I love their quarterback. They had the best quarterback on the field. They had mm-hmm. the best running back on the field. I get the calls were egregious. They were. I mean,
they were.
Especially the Anthony Johnson call was just terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Reader gets the kid going across the field before the ball had been released. I don't think that's a penalty, but maybe you're trying to get that out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Look, say what you want about Frailer, to the letter of the law, it was targeting, but here's what's wrong with the rule. And I don't know how you're going to adjudicate it, because then you're going to have to put it into somebody's head to try and get into the other guy's head what he was thinking. Is there two different levels? I mean, when you see a guy attempt to injure with the crown of his helmet mm-hmm. or take a couple of steps like a battering ram, you're out. But what Frailer did, for him to be, you know, tossed for the entire game, essentially, because it was the first drive, I think it needs to be tweaked.
There needs to be two rules to this. Mm-hmm. There needs to be with impact, with intent,
mm-hmm.
when you are going that way. And the other one, and we see this a ton, yeah, it was helmet to helmet.
Yep.
And yes, he lowered his head,
yep.
but that was not the intent. A lot of times it's a ball carrier also lowering his
mm-hmm.
head. That one is so tough. When you
yep.
get ejected for a game, the offensive player also did the exact same thing.
Right.
He's not going to be
right.
ejected. Those are the ones that, still a penalty, still probably a big one, still 15-yard mm-hmm. or something like that. But the ejection that comes along with it, there has to be something that is in place. Because we've been talking about this now for, 5 years?
Look, the rules, it's good that it's in the game.
Absolutely.
It's good yes. that it's in the game. And Frailer, was he not coming off a concussion? That's why he'd missed a time
yeah.
prior to that. But there was no intent there. There was no intent. The kid was making a play. He made the play with his head down. And here's the thing. And I get why Iowa State fans are pissed at this. Saw it a couple more times during the game.
Well, Jirell Brock, I mean, I thought he was done. I thought he was concussed and out for the game
yeah.
when he took that hit. That was more egregious, I thought, than the Frailer one.
And the Frailer one was called from upstairs?
Yes.
Meaning they saw something upstairs, they wanted to take a look at it, and then they never thought to take a look at any more of them?
That was crazy, because there were multiple times throughout
uh-huh.
the game that they could have gone back, and they just didn't.
Mm-hmm. Never felt like Iowa State was, at any point, Trent, watching the game, all right, they got momentum now, here they come.
Mm-hmm.
They had a chance, they scored late in the first half, got the ball to start the second half, but I think it was 3-and-out. I mean, it wasn't a very long drive.
It was 3-and-out, yeah.
It was 3-and-out, and
yep.
I thought, boy, they got a real chance here. But look, Blake Shapen made play after play after play. He
mm-hmm.
was really good. That offensive line was terrific for Baylor. Just wasn't Iowa State's day.
Yeah, you had the Deckers interception right away to begin the half. They get the ball back after stopping Baylor 3-and-out. They then go 3-and-out.
Mm-hmm.
It was when you were hoping that momentum was going to start in the second half, it just wasn't there. You know, the adjustments we always talk about defensively, they were not as good this time.
No, no.
And a big part of that was Shapen. He was really, really good.
You know who was really good for Iowa State? And I'm not saying he hasn't been in his first couple of games. I thought Dimitri Stanley had his best game as a
Absolutely.
Cyclone.
Had the touchdown, had another grab, and he was getting separation.
Yep.
That speed that we heard about during August camp definitely is showing up in a big-time way. And they need that. I mean, they need more. The tight ends are not what we've seen the last couple of years.
It's a glaring hole, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, they were spoiled. They were spoiled with
two.
You know,
two NFL guys.
Two NFL guys. Two generational tight ends. You don't get those kids at Iowa State, or you haven't. What was the kid's name that went to the pros? Went to Arizona. Mike, late 90s. Monta McCarney's team. Mike.
Oh, I can picture him, too.
Mike,
didn't he wear like a weird number? Like
99
was,
or something,
yeah.
Wasn't he? It's a kid's name. Anyways, you know who I mean.
I do.
He played in the NFL briefly.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, Kohler and Allen, they were difference makers. Iowa State's defense, who's really popping out to me is Verdon. He is
yes.
a really good player. Anthony Johnson, TJ Tampa. I thought Malik Verdon was maybe the best Cyclone defender on the field on that day. Look, they're going to do, they meaning offense, are going to do everything they can to take Will McDonald out of football games. He still had his moments, don't get me wrong, but they're going to game plan to take him out of the football game.
Yeah, he's a guy that MJ Anderson, I think, is seeing some of the positive impact because McDonald is getting double teamed and he's getting chipped every single time. They're not going to let Will McDonald just run free anymore.
Uh-uh.
That is a game plan guy, and teams are game planning. And you know, this is why he came back this year. He could have gone and been a fourth or fifth round draft pick. You know, that's where he was great at. He wanted to come back and improve his draft stock. He was going to do it, showing I can handle double teams.
Uh-huh.
I can handle being the guy.
They miss a Wazirike in the middle to take up some of the spots.
It hasn't shown up yet this year for McDonald, has it?
It hasn't. Look, there's a lot of football still to be played, obviously, and they'll have a chance to do that. But this conference overall, where do you, if you were power ranking Iowa State right now, where would you put them? It's hard.
Mike Banks,
yes.
Wade Looking Bill helping us out there.
Thank you, Wade Looking Bill. Can't wait to start talking to Wade Looking Bill.
That'd
be basketball season. We'll be here. Mike Banks. And was he number 99?
He had some weird number,
Some weird number. Mike Banks. Thank you, Wade. Yeah, it was 99, 2000, somewhere in that time period, I think.
Looking here. 31.
I don't know where I got 99 from. But 31 for a tight end is a different number.
It is.
Is a different
especially
number.
Back then.
Yep, indeed. All right, good stuff. So where do you put Iowa State? When you're talking about Iowa State, when you're talking about where their place would be right now in the Big 12.
Mm.
Who's the best team in the Big 12?
Kansas.
Trent. They're not.
No.
It's a wonderful story.
Are you ready for a Kansas-Texas Tech Big 12 championship game?
Yeah, actually. I mean, I'm new blood.
A Sunflower Showdown, Kansas State, a rematch
I think
for the championship.
Is K-State the best team? And this look, we're going
to
have this
conversation. They just lost to Tulane. Tulane team that also just got beat by Southern Miss.
And you had, by the way, you picked K-State for that very reason, that they just lost Tulane. I don't know. Adrian Martino was terrific in that football game. I'm glad I watched a lot of that game when the Hawks would go to commercial or to halftime. I'd switch over to that.
Is it Baylor? Did we overreact to the loss to BYU? That was a great environment.
Mm-hmm.
Night game.
Mm-hmm.
We know weird things happen when you head out west late at night. Big Ten happens all the time, and it happened here to the Big 12.
It's Baylor's schedule. All of their tough games, let me get it in front of them, are on the road, including this last stop in Ames. Where is Baylor? There's Baylor. So here's their schedule. They get Oklahoma State at home. Okay, that's good. They go to West Virginia. They host Kansas. They go to Texas Tech. They go to Oklahoma. Home to K-State, home to TCU, who, oh, by the way, TCU is good.
Yeah.
And then they finish at Texas. So they've got road games at Texas, at Oklahoma, in Lubbock, and at West Virginia.
Right now, we would put Oklahoma, Kansas State.
You still put Oklahoma 1?
No, I'm just saying above Iowa State.
Okay, above Iowa State, yes.
Kansas State, Oklahoma State, TCU, Baylor.
Yes.
Texas Tech.
I'm not going to overreact to that one.
Texas?
I'm not going to overreact to that one.
Kansas? We'll see it this week. It's not a stretch to be putting them in that 7-8-9 range.
It's not. On the other hand, if they figure it out and they clean up the mistakes, it's not a stretch to elevate them
Absolutely.
Up to the top again.
And they could be in the top three, and they can they can give themselves a chance going into November to have a real shot
without it, because there is going to be week after week after week, there's going to be teams that just get knocked off. I mean, we saw it in Norman, for God's sakes.
6-3, get you at least a tiebreaker chance.
Yes. Now, you don't want Baylor to be part of that tiebreaker.
Absolutely.
That's the bad news.
You want them to be 7-2 or better.
Right.
Because, well, unless it's a tiebreaker where everybody's beating everybody, and then we get into a four-way tie at 6-3, which very well could happen,
too. Is this growing pains for Deckers? Because he certainly got his moments. I mean, they got the right quarterback.
Oh, yeah, he's good. He's talented.
Yes.
There are, the mistakes are just more forcing things. It's not, he's misreading defenses.
He's forcing.
Like he's kind of guessing. Mm-hmm. He should be open. I'm just going to throw it here. Mm-hmm. Or he's making the determination before the snap even happens. This is where I'm going. Now, the interception, the end zone at Kinnick. You don't make that throw. That's just just throwing it up and hoping.
That was a bad, you're 100% right.
And there was another one of those on Saturday. That was the pick to start the second half. Just, you can't make that throw. Mm-hmm. And we're continuing to see that. Is this what we're going to get with Deckers? Is he that gunslinger? Is he going to be the guy that's going to try to force it into a tight window and try to make the big play? Maybe that's just the quarterback that he is. He's talented, no doubt. Mm-hmm. And he's going to win a lot of football games at Iowa State.
Yes, he is. What about, I thought Cartavius Norton would be a bigger part of the game plan. I don't remember him in the game. I looked at the box score. I saw he had one carry for 1 yard. I don't remember that. Mm-hmm. Not saying that he didn't. I just don't remember the play. Now, and this isn't killing Jairel Bark, but they did not run the ball very effectively. Until that, I mean, they had that 37-yard run. But other than that, they were, you know, there was a bunch of 2-3 yard pickups in the football game. Offensive line was not great.
Nope.
But you know what? Maybe Baylor's defense.
Well, and that's where they returned. Both lines is where Baylor returned a lot of their production. Mm-hmm. It was the question marks. Of course, Shapen came back, but what were they going to get in the running game? They got a little bit. It wasn't great by any means. Offensive line numbers. You ready for this from Pro Football Focus?
For what team?
For Iowa State.
Okay.
It was, Hufford was the highest grade. Pass blocking was really good for him. Run blocking was bad. In fact, across the board, only one player, that was Trevor Downing, was over a 60, which is kind of, I mean, that's like a C. Yep. When you get to a 60, Downing was a 61. Everybody else was lower than that in the 50s, and Triver was a 46 in the run game. He graded out as a 49 overall. We were hoping
Remsburg would play.
And he didn't.
Yep.
And he's going to be a difference maker. Mm-hmm. We talked about the improvement from Triver. He's improved. But he's still.
But there's a reason he's behind the guy in the depth chart. He's not as good.
He's not as good. And he is pretty much every week rated out kind of at that lever. So Hufford was your highest rated guy. He was a 62, 61 for Downing, 56 for Simmons, Miller a 54 and 49 for Triber. That's a woof.
Yeah, and it shows. Yes. It shows. They struggle to run the football, and you're going to have to run the football. So we'll see. It's a fascinating conference to watch. You have to bet. You have to bet this $100.
Yeah.
On the winner of the Big 12, who are you betting on?
Oklahoma State. That's where I've been from the get-go. I'm staying with the Cowboys.
Seen enough of them.
Yeah.
And they get Baylor this week, right?
Is that what it is?
I think it is.
Ooh, that's a good one.
It is a good one.
This slate of college football coming up this week is immaculate. I mean, we are pretty much everybody playing conference games. This thing top to bottom. This is what we wait for. Mm-hmm. This is what getting through June and July is about, is the week that we have coming up here. Just great conference matchups all over the place. And a couple of big ones here in our state. Now this week.
Indeed there are. All right, Doc, coming up, just real quick hit on the NFL, what you saw yesterday. I mean, you were at the football game, so you didn't see much of the early window.
Oh, I still had my phone. I was still watching Red Zone. Of course. and my wife just shakes her head at me.
And she's a Vikings fan.
That's
what I thought.
Yep.
Takeaways from over the weekend. I'm not going to overreact to Buffalo getting beat by Miami.
Nope, that was a weird
Miami's
game.
Legit. I'm not saying, I don't think they're the best team in that division, but it's good that Miami's got a pulse.
Mm-hmm.
Cincinnati got a win that they needed. So did the Colts get a win that they needed. My biggest takeaway maybe be the Jacksonville Jaguars.
They're good.
They are good.
They're good.
They? Yes.
They can rush off the edge.
They've
got a
defense, man.
Absolutely. This is, I think, the clear cut. You can still get them a plus 280 at some shops win the division.
I know.
I got them before the season. Hey. Jump aboard with me. Let's be Jaguar fans this year. At that price, Tennessee, they look better running the football, at least early in that football game. They got something. It's still Tannehill. I mean, how much can you,
can
you trust him? Here's my takeaway. We talked all summer. When we talked NFL, we talked about the AFC West and how it's great it's going to be. Now, your Broncos are 2-1.
Yeah, they're fake 2-1.
Yeah, they're fake 2-1.
They're the worst team. Maybe not. Maybe the Raiders.
The Chargers are setting up to have a year from hell.
Uh-huh.
With the injuries that they're dealing with, Bosa goes off with a groin injury.
Yep.
of course,
I don't know what Herbert was doing in the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pull him.
Get him out of there.
And don't let him play for 2 or 3 weeks.
And don't let that team doctor give him a shot after he punctured Tyrod Taylor's lung.
Did they ever settle that?
It's still in litigation.
Is it?
Yeah. Still trying to figure that out. But the AFC West, how great it was going to be. Mm-hmm. Only one team's going to make the playoffs, and it's Kansas City.
I think the Chargers get in.
No way.
I think they get in.
No way.
I think they
with that coach
way.
And those injuries.
Yeah, the injuries. Yeah. At least the injuries at the right time of the year, if there is such a thing, to get him over with early. But I would not play him. I would not play Herbert. And Keenan Allen's going to be back, and he's a massive, massive
That's
weapon.
A huge help. You're right.
Huge help for him. So I still think they're going to get 2 in. Look, I'm going to say something right now, and I know I've kidded about this a lot over the last couple of years. And I mean this when I say this. Trent, honest to God, my nose isn't growing. I miss Drew Lock. And here's why I miss him. He's not good.
Yeah.
But at this point in Russell Wilson's career, he's not good.
He's not.
He has lost it, and it lost it quickly. Okay, that aside, he's a way better. The two quarterbacks' careers are not even close, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you gave up 3 first-round picks for this guy. You spent $250 million on this guy. He's not the guy. Drew Lock wasn't the guy. But Drew Lock plays, you're still 2-1.
Absolutely.
Maybe.
And you're hopeful for more.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
He's
just
not
how
good.
Quickly it
He's lost
apart.
It.
And it was last year, it was the injuries. He's going to be fine. Mm-hmm. He's going to bounce back. A small stature quarterback later in his career has lost that half
Look
step.
What happened when they got in the red zone again? Balls are batted down. He can't see over when the field shrinks.
That 49er defense, though, they got some dudes, don't
so
they?
So does Denver.
Yeah.
So does Denver. Yeah. I mean, the defense won the game for Denver last. But yes, to your point, the Niners defense is legit. Where do you go with Jimmy Garoppolo?
Well, after Trent Williams went out, how much that changed
huge.
The game?
Now, Bradley Chubb was a non-factor.
Absolutely.
And then 55 just got active.
Mm-hmm. Because of that, I'm not going to overreact, but you know that's going to be the national storyline this week. Well, this is why they weren't about Garoppolo. He was solid up until that point. Williams went out. It completely changed the complexion of the game. They can get a good price on San Francisco. I think that price is going to look a little bit better.
What are they, 20-1?
Something like that.
Because that's what I've got him at.
Yeah.
I did make a play yesterday.
Oh, really? Another investment?
Another investment. I finally listened to you. I bought some Ravens stock.
There you go. What'd you get them?
18-1.
That's not bad.
Not bad at all. All right, Doc coming up. Scott Dockerman will join us. We will take a look back at the Rutgers game and ahead to the Michigan game. We're here until noon. Bama, Trent, and I will go around college football from a national perspective, 11:05, and then Nick Wilson more on Iowa State as we take you until noon. Miller and Condon, underway on a Monday. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3.
It's 1988.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, 10:35. Welcome back, Miller and Condon. We're on Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Time to talk to our friend Scott Dockerman from The Athletic. He was at the stadium on Saturday night in front of 53,000 people, or so they advertised. Doc joins us. Doc, I'm not ridiculing the fact that all the seats weren't full. It was good that, you know, Rutgers fans are getting some support for this program, but it was nowhere close to a sellout as far as people in seats, was it?
No, probably not. It was probably about 80% full, which wasn't bad. I mean, a lot of the upper deck on the opposite side I could see was about half full. But overall, it was a pretty good atmosphere. I think you go out in New Brunswick or Piscataway, and I thought it was a, you know, really befitting of a college football scene. So, anything that, you know, I took away from that, Rutgers is more than capable of holding its own and, in college football and in the Big Ten as an environment. It's just, you know, it just needs a little bit more success. And
a quarterback.
For a little while. Yeah, and a quarterback, but I thought their quarterback played okay.
He was tough as nails, Doc. I mean, he took some shots, didn't he?
He did. There were a few times I wondered if he'd get up or not, but he did. And, you know, he threw for 300 yards, and a lot of it was, you know, later in the game. But still, that's still an accomplishment considering what they did, you know, in the previous weeks.
So Iowa gets it done. Of course, the defensive story, two defensive touchdowns, and they needed all of them to get over the total and the over-under in the game. But, Doc, I want to talk about the offense with you, what you saw, the incremental improvements, and especially in the run game. You know, you look at the final numbers, it didn't show up in a big way. It's not like they average, you know, 5.5 yards per carry, anything like that, even when you take the sacks out of there. But overall, really impressive performance, and I thought Tyler Ellsbury came in, that offense had a little bit more juice. A few more counter plays in there, some inside counters. What did you see out of the ground game and improvements with the runners?
Yeah, I think that when you see you have three pretty good running backs out there running, I thought you saw you know, some, you know, really good balanced football. And likewise, yeah, I mean, they're running more gap than they usually do, and I think that's very helpful for this team because I don't know that it's accomplished enough to be able to run zone exclusively the way it probably wants to, but the counter plays were working really well because, you know, they're able to get really good on their aiming points and being able to catch Rutgers kind of off guard with that. And you're talking about a team that in Rutgers that allowed 32 yards a game rushing. They were second in the country going into it. And, I ran for 130. So almost 100 yards beyond what their average was going into the game. And, you know, granted, you know, Rutgers didn't play world beaters and, you know, Temple and Boston College and then Wagner, which probably shouldn't be on anybody's schedule, but I think that it still showed that I think their inside zone and their counter inside are both really doing well. It's still a little bit of a work in progress on the outside zone, but by and large, I saw the first really phases of progress, you know, the 5 and 6 yard chunk yards, you know, that you won in the running game. I saw that a lot more on Saturday than I had all season.
And an efficient performance from the quarterback, Doc, would you go there with me? I mean, they threw the ball down the field. He didn't turn it over. He tried to make plays with his legs. I thought Petras had his best game of the year and certainly didn't do anything to hurt his team.
That's correct. I mean, 11 to 17, it's what you expect from a game manager, and I think that's probably what Spencer Petras does well with Iowa. I thought there were a few times he missed some reads more than actually the receivers. There were a couple of times where I saw, you know, Arlen Bruce was open and he didn't get the ball, and that was probably unfortunate. But overall, I thought it was a very efficient, that's probably the right word for it, game by Spencer Petras, and not making any mistakes, making the makeable plays, and then being able to hit Sam Laporta on that 46-yard pass right before the half, I thought was really big for this team from a confidence perspective that when they need a big play, they can get it. And, you know, there's still a long way to go in this season, but you're seeing some progress, and that's really the most important thing for this offense.
The numbers are stark with Petras on the road in comparison to home. He's been a lot better quarterback on the road this season. Of course, we know the Boo Birds the first 3 weeks that he heard. Can you read into that, that maybe that's a part of it, going on the road, everybody working together, and that negativity maybe kind of separated away, that helps Spencer Petras? Is that me just reading too much into things?
I think you're probably reading a little too much into that right now, Trent. I mean, well, it bears watching over the next month.
Yeah.
But I think what we're looking at is the first two games, he only had one healthy scholarship wide receiver in Arlen Bruce. And it was pretty easy for the opponents to swallow him up. And then you look at the third game, which was that rain delay game, and he wasn't bad in that game. I thought he hit some plays. I thought the receivers missed on some plays. So I thought he looked pretty good that day as well. But again, 7 hours, a lot of rain, a lot of lightning, whatever. So let's give it a few more weeks, see how, you know, and Michigan's a different animal than Illinois, but we'll see how he is maybe by Halloween, you know, and then be able to gauge whether or not the road environment is easier or healthier for him versus, you know, Iowa City, which, you know, you'd hope that maybe the Boo Birds, if they continue to play like this, will be only booing the coaches or make it sound like they're booing the coaches as opposed to the players.
Well, Doc, there's some talk, some speculation that we'll get some clarity on Keegan Johnson tomorrow when Ferentz meets with you guys early tomorrow afternoon. Are you hearing anything along those lines, Doc?
As far as his status?
His status and future, yes.
Oh, well, I can't speak to anything beyond this year. You know, I would say that, you know, it sounds does not sound promising for him. You know, his hamstring had a significant setback in that rain delayed game, and it doesn't look like he'll be able to play for a long time, if even this year. But we'll probably get, you know, more clarity. And you never know. I mean, you know, a couple of weeks away, maybe that'll help his hamstring loosen up and be able to play. But as far as speculation goes for next year, I'm gonna leave that out, because we've seen a lot of people be very, very wrong about the speculation about him earlier in the season. So I'm not gonna add to it now and be wrong as well.
So we see Drew Stevens come in late in the game, makes it a 3-score game as he knocks in the 51-yarder off the upright. Boy, it just feels different. We know about Torrey Taylor. He won the punter battle on Saturday, but obviously, Drew Stevens, I mean, the future looks incredibly bright. This is different than Keith Duncan. He was a guy, not the strongest leg in the world, just very accurate. There looks to be a little bit more, it appears, early on here from Drew Stevens.
He's got a big leg, and that's something that everybody knew and recognized coming in. It was just a matter of consistency, and that's really important. But at that point in the game, you know, originally they thought about punting or going for it, and instead they said, all right, let's give him a shot. Let him go for 51, and you know, again, it hit the upright and went in, but he certainly had the length by a lot. I mean, if it would have continued to go straight, it would have been a 60 yarder. So I think there's a lot of potential there with him. You know, consistency is going to be you know, a question until it matters. You know, and right now he's 3 for 3, so there's really no problem with consistency. Mm-hmm. So I think you know, if I'm Iowa, you've got to give him the shot and let him continue, because he's the one making these field goals. He's making the chip shots, like at the end of the first half, a 25-yarder, and then when they wanted to stretch that out to 3 scores in the fourth quarter, he was able to do that too. So plus the rain game the week before.
What's Cooper DeJean's ceiling?
Well, that's I would say he's got a chance to be, you know, let's go Ferentz era only, to be in the conversation with Bob Sanders and Desmond King as one of the top three defensive backs in Iowa history. He just does everything so well. I mean, I know a lot of people want to compare him to Tyler Sash, you know, small town Iowa guy, and the way he plays, but he's so fluid. He's more like Micah Hyde, but he's built with like Tyler Sash's size. So if you've got that, you've got a bona fide, I mean, both of them are NFL players, and Micah Hyde, unfortunately, is out for the season now, Pro Bowl player. I think his upside is limitless. I think he might end up being one of the most popular players in Iowa history, too, because he can do no wrong. Even if he does something that he gets burned on a play, people are saying, oh, that's not his fault, because they like him that much. Yeah. So I think he could be a very, very popular figure at Iowa by the time it's all said and done.
So I just heard this in passing, but apparently after the game, there was a health scare with a media member, and Ralph Russo, the AP college football writer,
who was there.
Yeah, he performed CPR. Doc, were you involved? Were you around while this was happening?
Yeah, it happened right next to me, I don't know the final outcome. It was truly terrifying because this man, you know, he started making sounds, and he passed out backwards and smacked his head on the floor, and Ralph Russo had to do CPR, and his heart stopped. He stopped breathing for a while. There was paramedics and police and EMTs that got there as quickly as they can, and, you know, used the, shocked him back. I mean, they probably shocked him at least 10 times.
Wow.
And I'm just sitting 5 feet away from him. And, you know, it was more than an hour, and he was taken away on a stretcher. I don't know I was going to check today to see what may have happened, but yeah, it was certainly a terrifying scene in the press box.
Wow, I guess. Oof, I hadn't heard that, Trent.
Yeah.
So let's look ahead to this week, Doc. Michigan comes to town. Look, Maryland gave them a tussle, and Michigan really hadn't been tested. But this is a good football team. I'm not minimizing their capabilities by any means. Maryland might be good. What's the biggest concern if you're Ferentz or Phil Parker or Brian Ferentz about this Michigan team?
I think there's a couple of areas that on offense that kind of scare you. I mean, J.J. McCarthy, by and large, has been very accurate and they do have some downfield threats. So you want to really minimize any kind of opportunities for them to get big plays. And Blake Corum, you know, Iowa knows that firsthand, is a tremendous running back, big playability there. So I think, by and large, you want to bring this game down to your level, because you're not going to be able to out-athlete Michigan. They're just too good for you, and they're going to beat you probably 20-10 if they do that. However, if you could bring it down to their level, the way they did 6 years ago at Kinnick, which is make it a fist fight, make it a you know, a field position game, force them in a hostile environment to make big plays on third down repeatedly, force their quarterback, maybe with his back against the wall into the north end zone, to try to change a play. I mean, if you can do all of that, then Kinnick will be a madhouse, and if it's a close competitive game in the fourth quarter, Iowa has a real shot. If not, if you're just talking about playing a traditional game, back and forth, but with real no, you know, anything that really tips the balance in your favor, then I think Michigan's the better team. Now, Maryland has a great offense, and I think they're going to be able to keep up with anybody. I mean, I'm anxious to watch them play Ohio State, because I think that could be 65-48 or something like that. I mean, just back and forth. But I do think that, you know, Michigan is capable. Iowa's capable of winning against Michigan because it hasn't lost to Michigan since 05 at home. And, you know, but it also has to score more points. In the last three games, they scored a one touchdown against Michigan. So I think that they're going to have to capitalize when those plays are there. And if so, yeah, it's anybody's ball game in the fourth quarter if it's a close game.
Going to be a fun one. How many defensive points is it going to take for Iowa to pull the upset? Nine?
Defensive points? Wow, that would be an interesting one there. How do you get three out of that? I don't know. You count the extra point, I guess.
Yeah, touchdown to safety.
Touchdown to safety. So you get the extra point for the defense on that one.
I've given it to
you. I'll go with 24. No, I don't know about scoring points, but I think they're going to have to get turnovers. They're going to have to win the turnover battle. You know, I think they're going to have to provide a turnover in Michigan territory to where Iowa, at a minimum, can get 3 points. But, you know, in their case, hopefully 6 or 7. And that I do think that 2 to 3 turnovers are going to be imperative for Iowa to pull out a win.
A third of the way through the college football season, you hate to say, but it's true. Minnesota head and shoulders, clear-cut favorite in the West?
Absolutely. I think they are the most complete team in the West. They've got a very good defense. I think Michigan State is a team that's going to struggle to get to bowl eligibility this year, which is weird to say after winning 11 games last year. But, you know, they still have Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State. Maryland is going to be difficult. Wisconsin will be difficult for them. So it's going to be a real struggle for them. But I still think Michigan State's a decent team. But Minnesota has proven now, not only against the cakewalks, you know, but against a legitimate Big Ten team, it's a formidable opponent. Now, it knows, and everybody else knows, that it's going to take those games against Iowa and Wisconsin for them to really prove themselves, and they are very aware of that. They know that they want to win Floyd Rosedale. They haven't for so long, and they want to win Wisconsin. If they can win those games and go to Indianapolis, they will earn their way there. But at this point, I don't see anybody in the West as good as they are, although the Purdue game and this weekend is going to be just tremendous. I wish it wasn't at the same time as Iowa, Michigan.
And O'Connell may not be able to answer the bell for Purdue, and that's a blow. Scott Dockerman. Doc, anything at The Athletic you'd like to promote coming up this week?
Yeah, I think I'm going to have a profile of the, you know, I would say Iowa's biggest badass, and Jack Campbell, but he does it in ways that I don't think anybody recognizes. And so it's going to be an really interesting profile I've got of him in a few weeks. And you know, and the Doughboys cashed in.
Yep.
I have that story up right now.
So. Yep. And you know what? A guy played Jack Campbell's position before. He was having a really good career in the NFL, and I wasn't sure he would. Josie Jewell, I'm not sure you saw the NFL Sunday Night Football last night. Jewell was huge all over the field for the Broncos. Hell of a career. Doc, good stuff. We'll talk to you next Monday. Thank you, Scott Dockerman. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate the time.
Yep, good to talk to you. Scott Dockerman from The Athletic. Did you see Josie Jewell last night?
I did, yeah. My God. Popped off the screen. Should have had a pick six if Garoppolo wouldn't have stepped out of the back of the end zone.
Unbelievable. We'll take a timeout, come back, finish up the hour. Bama Bob Trent and I kick off hour two. Nick Olson on Iowa State's Miller and Condon are on Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3.
Bets off.
Now back to Miller and Condon on 106.3 KXNO. Here's Ken and Trent.
Seems like yesterday. Hey, a couple minutes left in hour number one. Welcome back. It's Miller and Condon. We're on Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. During the break, we were kind of looking ahead to the schedule for this upcoming weekend when you alerted me to the 11 a.m. window. Trent, there's
it's
way
nuts.
Too much.
It's absolutely crazy. So obviously that is going to be Iowa, Michigan. That's where most TV sets will be locked in here in Central Iowa and across the state. But you have Oklahoma at TCU. That's on ABC.
I'd love to watch that game.
It will be a good one. Mm-hmm. And Max Duggan, he looked pretty good on Saturday against SMU. Kentucky goes to Ole Miss.
That's a big game.
That's a huge game. And two contrasting styles. Very fun. Probably won't watch a snap of it.
No, I won't.
Purdue at Minnesota.
Sign me up. Hawks got to play both of them yet.
Illinois at Wisconsin.
Sign me up. Hawks have to play both of them yet.
How about this Big 12 tilt? K-State hosting Texas Tech.
Sign me up. Clones have to play both of them.
And again, all these games are just in the 11 a.m. window for us. It is locked and loaded. Great games up and down.
Gosh.
This is going to be a multi-TV viewing experience.
I don't know how you do it. I can't do it. I can't focus on two TVs.
You can't, huh?
I just, whatever reason. Fox, they're what do they call it? Big game, pregame.
Big noon kickoff.
Big noon kickoff show. They'll be in Iowa City for this one. What the number come out? Has there been much movement?
Good question. So Circa had it at 9.5.
Uh-huh.
I looked at our buddy Kenny White, his projections. Had it at 7.5. Another projection system I looked at had it at 6.5. So at least the early value would be, at least betting wise, on Iowa. But yeah, good question. We'll see early on what we got here in terms of the point spread.
Find Iowa State, Kansas, too, if you can, real quick.
Yeah, we'll get that one in there. All right, here we go. We're into the slate on Saturday. Iowa State, Kansas, still sitting at 3. It has remained 3 across the board everywhere. Iowa State 3. Early money, though, on the Jayhawks in that one. Let's get to Iowa,
and
Michigan.
And where are you for this?
What's that?
What site are you on for this?
This is through Wager Talk.
Wager Talk.
Yep, gotcha. Wager Talk, and their live outlines. They have Circa, Westgate, South Point, DraftKings, Caesars, and then some respected offshore places also are listed there. Iowa, let's see, 10.5. At Circa, so that has gone up. 10.5 at Westgate. 10.5 actually across the board right now. Wolverines favored in early money. 63% of the money is on Michigan here early on, and almost all the money on the under.
And what's it? What's that number?
It's down to 42. It's 43.5 the opener, down to 42 already.
A scoring frenzy. 42 the number in a Hawk game. All right, we'll take a timeout. Come back. Second hour of the program, Bama, Trent, and I will talk college football, recap the weekend. Nick Olson is here, covers Iowa State, CycloneAlert.com. They head to Lawrence to take on the Jayhawks, ESPN2 for that one. And then Mr. Monday Night, NFC East in the spotlight, Miller and Condon. 1 hour to go. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KX.